This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. Although it may be true that everything changes except change itself, as the Greek philosopher Heraclitus famously said, that doesn't mean that the pace and nature of change can't be controlled, which is arguably the purpose of the Jefferson Land Trust, the venerable local nonprofit that has gained wide recognition as an exemplar of the land conservationist movement. This week on The Compass, we talk with Jefferson Land Trust Executive Director Richard Tucker and former Executive Director Sarah Spaeth about the past, present, and future of the Trust and the lands it stewards. So now, let's go inside The Compass. What is a land trust? And how did the land trust movement get started? How did the Jefferson Land Trust get started?
We're not an arm of the government or another entity. We're a standalone nonprofit organization, as other land trusts are around the country. I think they started because people wanted to preserve the places in their community that matter, and they wanted to be able to go out and secure and protect the working farms, forest land, and habitat lands. Many of the early land trusts were around habitat and open spaces. And over time, they've actually grown into protecting agricultural areas. This land trust was started in 1989 by a group of concerned citizens who wanted to preserve the reasons that make this area special for all of us. Sarah was our first employee. Sarah was hired
in 96 to manage our first proactive project, which was the Quimper Wildlife Corridor. So that was kind of our big habitat project to begin with, which then expanded into salmon habitat protection with the listing of the summer chum salmon, and then from there, we've expanded our mission, as Richard said, to include working lands, working farmlands, and forests. So really, our tagline now is farms, fish, and forests. And of course, fish includes other wildlife habitat, too.
And forever. The Land Trust, our work, because we purchase property and we hold it as preserves, we also purchase easements, and an easement is where you buy the development rights from a piece of property. So the landowner still owns a property and can still use a property, but the land trust has purchased through either grants or other source of funding the right to further subdivide and change the use of the property. For example, our farmland easements, those properties will stay in farmland forever. And that's the thing about that makes land trust really unique, is that our mission is forever. And that's a very strange concept to think about, but it's we are protecting these areas in perpetuity. And we're saving the lands that brought many of us here, the natural beauty. People come because of the Chimicum farming area, and we're now looking at a farming community down in Quilcene, which we're helping to grow. And people are brought by that. They're also brought by the mountains and the streams and the natural beauty of this area. The work of the land trust will go on forever. And that's why we have not just our acquisition arm of our work, but also our stewardship, where we have to maintain these properties that we purchase. And also, if we have an easement, we have to monitor those easements, because there's an agreement with the landowner that they will do or not do certain things. And so we have to make sure that they are in compliance with those, with the easement. And that involves building relationships. But the one thing about land trusts here that really stands out, this land trust in particular, is the fact that we get things done through partnerships. Sarah, over her 20 plus years of working here, has built relationships with state agencies, tribes, local other organizations, and that's how things happen. We don't have the resources to do these wonderful things on our own. We have to rely upon building partnerships and sustaining those partnerships through trust and doing good work. And this organization has a track record and a reputation nationally for doing really innovative projects and doing it in a very ethical manner. We are an accredited land trust, and there's an organization called the Land Trust Accreditation Commission, where you have to apply for accreditation, and it's really you're judged by your peers. It's a group or organization of other land trust individuals who review all your practices, from everywhere from financial management to fundraising practices to our the way we protect property through our documents. They review all our easements and our purchase and sale agreements. They also look at our stewardship policies and procedures. They review everything, and it's about a year-long process, and you get accredited. It's a five-year accreditation. We received one of the first accreditations in the country, I think, and we were just reaccredited 2 years ago. And it tells people who work with us that we're an organization that they can trust that follows best practices. We manage our funds wisely. We our work is permanent. I mean, when we put an easement on the property, it's defendable. And it says that you're dealing with an organization that has gone through incredible scrutiny and has passed. And that's really important for people to understand about land trusts, is that there are land trusts who are accredited and there are land trusts who are not. And there's a difference in the, I think, the best practices that those that are accredited follow, because the standards are changed frequently, and you have to meet the higher standards when you go through the reaccreditation.
In perpetuity, I mean, forever is a really long time, a really long time. And I've heard that actually, legally, it's very difficult to accomplish in perpetuity because, well, things change, laws change. And so how do you go about doing that?
Well, we do it through our legal documents. First of all, if we purchase the property, we're the owner. And the way that we are set up, that if we, for some reason, disappear, the land must be transferred to an agency, an organization that will carry on the mission.
What if such an organization
it could be,
no longer exists?
Well, that'll be a very interesting world if we don't have organizations that protect and preserve land going forward, whether it's a other organization, a larger land trust, or what have you. But now the issue of perpetuity, it's in our legal documents that we have with the landowners. It runs with the land. And so that's how we protect it. And now, but the perpetuity is kind of a strange concept because we think forever, what does that really mean? It means exactly what it says. As long as this community is in existence, that those documents will stand. If the organization goes away for whatever reason, then there will be a secondary organization will step in and take on that responsibility.
And I would add, too, that most of the lands that we've acquired have been acquired with public funding. So there are state or county agencies that have a stake in our success as well. And so there are usually deed restrictions that are added on top of our ownership. So there's a deed of right that the state has that says that if the land trust ever fails in its stewardship of this property, and whomever we assign as our successor fails, then the state can come in and assume that responsibility too. So there's like a whole stepwise fail-safe kind of preservation tool at hand.
And the other thing is that quite often the lands that we purchase, we don't always hold them. Quite often we transfer them. There are some properties we've acquired that the city of Port Townsend owns, or Jefferson County owns, or the state of Washington now owns, or the tribe. And so that's part of the partnerships we build around. We acquire property, and who is the best agency or organization to manage that going forward?
And in those cases, those same deed restrictions apply. So that the city, for example, in those cases where they've been grant funded, the city can't choose to divest of them for development. They
can't change their mind.
They can't change their mind if this funding has come to play and says there shall be a deed restriction that makes sure that it's always maintained for wildlife habitat or whatever the purpose is. So that's one of the reasons that we feel comfortable in transferring them to our partner organizations, is that we know that they're covered and that we're present to kind of keep an eye on the management. And many times, even if we transfer them, we have some sort of stewardship role in ensuring that the property's in good shape.
You know, with the Nature Conservancy, there's been some controversy because they have been known to take lands for conservation and then change their mind later and say, well, we're going to
get rid of this property and get this other one that we consider more valuable instead. And people have been, you know, have felt betrayed by that. So there's some, I gather you've put in like legal assurances in the form of these easements and so on that prevent that?
Well, when we hold conservation easements, the property can certainly transfer hands.
Right.
But the role of the land trust is this perpetual oversight, the perpetual monitoring of the easement itself to ensure that the provisions and the restrictions on the property are maintained in perpetuity. So that's where our role comes in. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the mission of the land trust. It started off as this habitat preservation thing with the wildlife corridor. Now there's an agricultural element to it, and I understand there's like a new project up at Chimicum Ridge that is got community forestry, which I'd like to hear a little bit about what that is.
I mentioned that tagline of farms, fish, and forests, and that is really kind of the focal areas of our current work. We're still very involved in salmon habitat. We have projects going on down in the lower estuary of Chimicum Creek where we're buying buffer lands along the creek. We have projects going down on the Duckabush River and where we're adding to some of our preserves and working with landowners to protect some of their lands with easements. And so we're involved in many watersheds, also work really closely with the Northwest Watershed Institute down in the Tarbu Valley, and there are a couple of projects ongoing there. When we expanded our mission in about 2003 or 4 to include working lands, that's when we took our work to really try to protect those working lands, especially agricultural lands to begin with, that had prime soils and had the ability to help our community grow food. And we also recognized that just preserving the land wasn't really enough to provide food for our community, that we needed to somehow be supporting the producers that are actually working the land. And so we formed a group called the Jefferson Landworks Collaborative. And that group has been meeting ever since then. And it's really a place where we partner with the food co-op, the farmers market, WSU Cooperative Extension, the Conservation District, and others to support the producers. Craft 3 is another not-for-profit lending institution that's a part of the Landworks Collaborative. And in many cases, there's some role that each of the organizations play. The Land Trust has been able to go out and get state and county and federal funding to buy development rights and buy conservation easements on some of these ag lands. And then that, in turn, helps the producer reinvest in the farm. For example, you know, Finn River is a pretty great shining example of how we were able to buy development rights on the original farm, which helped Keith and Christy Kistler buy out their partners and invest in the infrastructure. And now, you know, they're not only working that original 33 acres, they're now located on the old Brown Dairy, Chimicum Dairy property, which we also helped protect. But they've grown their business with that initial infusion. They also worked with Craft 3, who helped them with business planning. We had some local investors come in to help them with some of their infrastructure costs and their growing business. The Conservation District has had a role and is now a partner on the property. They use the Brown Dairy as their nursery. So when there are at least three partners that come together in a property, a client, a producer, then we consider them Jefferson Landworks clients. So we've been able to help a number of farms through Jefferson Landworks client or the collaborative, and the Land Trust has played a role in many of those. So that's farmland. As we move further up the watershed, we're now really looking at trying to preserve some of our key working forest land pieces. And we have a project ongoing on Chimicum Ridge. We were really fortunate to have the Trust for Public Land involved, EcoTrust Forest Management, and actually the Navy has helped purchased some development rights on the Ridge property.
The Navy.
Mm-hmm.
What's their interest?
The Navy actually has a nationwide program. The Department of Defense has a nationwide program where they like to buffer their installations. And so they partner with organizations like the Land Trust, Trust for Public Land, the Nature Conservancy, local land trusts, DNR, and where we have interests that overlap, they can help preserve these working lands. So on the Chimicum Ridge property, EcoTrust Forest Management is the owner of the property now. The development rights have been purchased and are extinguished forever, and the goal is to have this property be an example of how we can manage a working forest land in a sustainable fashion and actually bring local businesses onto the site, whether it's someone who wants to raise bees and have local honey or have essential oils extracted from some of the branches or whatever. And maybe manage some sections of the property for a longer rotation so that we can provide wood for the Port Townsend School of Woodworking or the Northwest School of Boat Building. And so that's kind of this grand vision that we're aiming for. EcoTrust.
And the profits from managing the forest that way will go to what, the EcoTrust?
So as the owner of the property right now, EcoTrust is able to do logging on the property and invite other people to do businesses on the property. Ultimately, they won't own the property. We hope perhaps Jefferson Land Trust will, or some other organization that can really engage the community in this piece. That's the goal. We don't know if we're going to be the ultimate owner yet, but we're really fortunate to have EcoTrust Forest Management, who is actually a very conservation-minded forest management company. They're out of Portland.
Are they a nonprofit or?
They have a for-profit arm and they have a nonprofit arm.
And we're under contract with EcoTrust Forest Management to purchase the property. I think we have 6 years remaining on that purchase and sale agreement. So the plan is eventually, hopefully, that the Jefferson Land Trust can purchase it. But as Sarah mentioned, it could be another entity. But we're putting in place the infrastructure we need for the community forest concept.
The funding of the land trust, I mean, you've mentioned there's many partners, and I gather, you know, I was talking to David Sullivan, and he was talking about the county's involvement in acquiring Tumanos Rock. But, you know, so what's the proportion between, you know, like private donors, like I myself, and actually an annual donor to the land trust? So what percentage of the funding for the land trust comes from people like me, as opposed to the various public agencies and so on?
Well, I can maybe speak to the broader and then let Richard dig down into the specifics. But most of our project funding comes from grants. So the actual purchase of easements and the purchase of lands are grant funded for the most part. But the work that we do to negotiate, to partner with these other community organizations, to steward the lands, to do walks like the Tumanos Rock yesterday, those are community driven. And without the community funding, we can't even keep our doors open. So
community, when Sarah means she talks about community driven, that's local supporters. The vast majority of the donors that support the land trust come from Jefferson County. We have a few who are on the other side of the sound. Many of them have connections with this county, but the vast majority of our donors and our supporters come from Jefferson County. And that's incredible to me when you see that this is a county of 29,000 people supporting an organization that does such good work. And they step up repeatedly every year to help us get our work done. And it's coming from another part of the country. When I relocated here, that's a concept I'm not used to. Other organizations I've worked for received a lot more funding from other sources, from larger foundations or from government agencies. But our funding comes from our local neighbors. And that's pretty gratifying for me.
What is the annual budget? How many paid employees? How many volunteers?
Well, the volunteers, we have numerous volunteers. We have several different programs. We have our preserve stewards. We have our volunteer work parties. I think last year by August, we had 1,000 hours of volunteer hours accumulated. So it's pretty amazing what we can get. We do a work party and people will show up. We just had one a couple weeks ago where a local bank provided their staff's time off to go and work with our stewardship staff to do a restoration project. We also, we have 10 staff, not all full-time. That includes our development staff, our administrative staff, and our stewardship staff, and our acquisition staff, which is not a large for a land trust. I think that we're kind of the little land trust that could. We do quite a bit. And I like to borrow from the Chimacum slogan, little town with big ideas. We're the little land trust with big ideas. And we do a lot with what we have.
And what is the operating budget?
Oh, our operating budget is about $600,000 a year. And that covers just the whole gamut of the work we do. And as Sarah mentioned, when we get a project, when we get a grant from a federal agency or a state agency, we do get some support for staff time for that and for some of the other elements of a project, the appraisal costs, the survey costs, and all those other things. But the rest of it is raised locally.
And about how many acres of what kinds of land are currently under protection?
We own outright about 550 acres at this point in time. And then we hold 57 conservation easements with more landowners than that, because sometimes the easements have multiple landowners involved. I think we're over 130 landowners now. I can't be sure about the exact numbers, but and then we help other organizations preserve their lands too through stewardship agreements. And in total, that comes to about 12,000 acres in Jefferson County, either through fee ownership, conservation easements, or monitoring agreements with other organizations like the county, like the state parks, like the city, like the Ho River Trust.
So it seems to me that it would be a real advantage to that farmer who actually entered into a partnership with the land trust to do an easement. It sounds like, you know, Finn River has benefited from this relationship. So if I were a small farmer in Jefferson County interested in obtaining that kind of relationship, what would I do?
You could approach the land trust, and the land trust would say, well, tell us about the land that you're talking about here, because ultimately our involvement involves the land, that there needs to be conservation value to the land. And if you were interested in help through selling us a conservation easement, we would have to determine if there was actually value to that conservation easement. So most often the value to a conservation easement comes from the development rights that you are selling. So if you, for example, were interested in a 5-acre piece of property, and that 5-acre property under current county zoning had one development right, and you wanted to build your house there, then there may not be a role for the land trust, because you would be continuing to use that development right that land has. If you were talking about a 40-acre piece of property that was zoned rural residential 1 and 5, and you only wanted to build one house on that property, and maybe you had Chimacum Creek running through it, and that was prime soils, well, then there is a situation where there could potentially be a role for the land trust in helping to preserve the bulk of that property for agricultural and salmon habitat uses. So we have to evaluate each situation based on what the quality of the land is. And it's not any reflection on what we think of the farmer. It's our role is really about the land. And so if we feel that it's that there are conservation values worthy of being protected, that we may be able to get grant funding if the landowner is wanting to sell that easement, then there could potentially be a role for the land trust. So we have a pretty tried and true process. We learn about the land from the landowner. We bring it to our Conservation Projects Committee, which is a group of volunteers and staff and our attorney and board members that meet on a monthly basis. We discuss the land. We determine if it's a preliminary fit. And then we go to a site visit and we learn more about the owner's wishes. And then we go back to our board and say, well, we think that this could be a fit. Do you agree, and should we move forward? And if so, then we start to look into where funding might be available or if it's a donated easement, because that's often how easements are done across the nation, where landowners actually donate the value of the easement. Then we start to work on the details of what that perpetual legal agreement looks like. And in the long run, we also try and set aside some stewardship funding into a pooled stewardship fund that helps us make sure that we can uphold our obligations to that land in perpetuity by monitoring and keeping that really good working relationship with the landowner out into the future. Because that's really what it's about, is being a partner with the landowners in the long-term stewardship of that property.
And one of the other considerations we have to take in, we have to look at is whether or not we have the resources to really work on a particular project. We get requests frequently from landowners who want to protect their property. And we had a conservation plan we developed back in 2010, which was a long-term vision for what we would like to see in Jefferson County. This was a community effort. We also have a strategic plan we developed, which actually helps guide our work for the next couple of years. One of the things we have to consider is, because of the competing requests, which project is really going to benefit the community most, and which project we have the resources to work on. So we're limited by, one, how does the property fit in with our long-term conservation strategy and our conservation goals? And do we have the resources to work on it this year? Or do we have to put it off for a year or two until we have the resources to do it, or we have the capacity to do it? Sarah works very hard at what she does, and we only have one person who works on acquisitions, so we want to make sure that we keep her sane.
And speaking of which, actually, I need to go to the County Conservation Futures hearing that's happening right now. We have several applications that we submitted for different farm and habitat projects this year, and the hearing is happening right at this moment, so I've got
to
run.
As it happens, we're out of time anyway, okay. So I want to thank you both for allowing me this opportunity today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Anytime.
Thank you.
With Jefferson Land Trust Executive Director Richard Tucker and former Executive Director Sarah Spaeth, this is Steve Evans reporting for KPTZ Community Radio News. This week's KPTZ Compass was written and produced by Steve Evans. You can listen to podcasts of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream KPTZ live 24 hours a day. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, I'm Steve Evans.